Hello, everyone. It's CJ, and welcome to our program, Hello, Dr. CJ, What's Life All About? Sit back and enjoy the beat and get ready, because our program's going to start momentarily.
Hello, everybody. This is Stephanie Martin at Hello, Dr. CJ, What's Life All About? Thank you for joining us. CJ won't be able to join us today, but she will be back with us soon. And it's going to be, again, another great show. We are going to be interviewing Susan Gowdy. Susan is an author and has written a book called The Journey from Fear to Love is Shorter Than You Think. So I'm really looking forward to bringing her on and talking to her about her book and the work that she does. So I want to go ahead and tell you a little bit about her. 2 months shy of her third birthday, Susan Gowdy was sexually abused by a 16-year-old neighbor. Although she unconsciously buried this horrific experience deep within herself, the deep-rooted fear that resulted continued to influence her decisions, happiness, relationships, health, and more for many years. In The Journey from Fear to Love is Shorter Than You Think, Gowdy describes the awakening into life that finally freed her from the mental, physical, and spiritual chains of her past. A memoir written from a spiritual point of view, this book is sprinkled with self-help tips that will give the readers, listeners, the tools they need to get present and focused and to take an honest look at what they are not or what they are or are not doing to create the lives they currently live. Gowdy knows from firsthand experience that living in the shadow of your past can cause you to forget that you have the power to change your life and to take charge of your life, no matter what may or may not lie in your own past. Susan Gowdy can help you become more awake, aware, clear, and empowered. She teaches you how to stop being a victim and how to leave excuses behind. She helps you to realize just how powerful and wonderful you are and how wonderful you have always been. So Susan Gowdy grew up in Chicago, Illinois, and she earned a bachelor's and a master's degree in social work from Arizona State University. With a strong background in psychology, counseling, and social work, as well as certifications in neurophysical reprogramming, bioenergetic synchronization technique, and psychological kinesiology, also Psych-K. Susan works to heal physical as well as deep-rooted emotional issues. Her many years of experience are featured in her writing, and today she enjoys living in Colorado with her husband, Ben, and their four beautiful children, Samantha, Stephen, Alexander, and Mariah. So without further ado, I would like to warmly welcome Susan Gowdy. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on to the show today. I'm really looking forward to hearing all about your work.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you talk about fear, and there is a lot of people that are experiencing fear on many different levels, and it can be very overwhelming and challenging. And how do people end up living and staying stuck in fear? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a variety of ways that people end up living in fear. Most of it, though, comes from early events in their life, what they learned in the environments they grew up in, depending on, you know, it doesn't matter where they grew up, whether it was a foster home or in the home of their mother and father or aunt and uncle raising them, whatever it was, whatever was going on in that environment. So it could be that there was fear that was around maybe health issues or money or or anything like that, that they, as they're growing and they're a child, they're really like little sponges, and they're just absorbing all that information, and those fears start to become instilled in them, and they're put into their subconscious, and they can grow up and not even really realize they have these fears until they're older and trying to have their own lives, and then some of those things will creep up on them. So, I mean, there's just so many. It could be things from teachers when they were younger, things they were told by a teacher that they never got over because that person was significant in their life, and maybe they told them they weren't good enough at something, or they didn't know how to do something, and so then there may be a fear wrapped around whatever that was, a sport or an academic or something like that. My particular fear was related to what you introduced me with and talking about the trauma that occurred before I was even three. That was, you know, one amongst others, but that was the most significant for me, and I wasn't quite 3 years old. And so I grew up not understanding why I had a lot of different fears that were, you know, around that trauma. I didn't really understand where those came from because I was so young when that occurred.
Right. You know, and sometimes you hear people make, you know, the statements, oh, well, she's so little, she won't remember and it won't affect her, you know, concerning different traumas or things. And that's obviously not true.
No, not at all. It depends. You know, I think what happens, I don't think anybody actually ever forgets those things. It's always put in the subconscious. It's there. It may not be consciously they're aware or they're, you know, they may be even choosing to shove it back there for whatever reason if it's very devastating. And what happened to me was it was a life-threatening situation. But I think part of it is just who I am as a being. I mean, I remember him threatening my life, and that made me not forget what had happened. Details of it, those, you know, I knew enough of what happened, and as I was older, I was remembering more. But it, you know, it was definitely not something that I ever forgot. I still didn't relate, you know, where these other fears in my life, I kind of had OCD type tendencies, those types of things. I didn't know where that came from, why I'd created kind of, when I was young, I had certain rituals and things, way I would do things in a certain order. As I got older and started studying in social work and psychology in those courses, I started to understand that I was creating these OCD type things as like a safety thing for me, that I thought if I did it that way, and then I always did it that way, I would always be safe. So I always did things a certain order and in a certain way. And but, you know, I grew up not understanding where I...
When was it that you kind of started to identify and realize the connection that there was that past trauma?
I think I started to connect some things as I was a teenager, and that's, you know, when you start talking to friends more and telling each other your deep, dark secrets and that kind of thing. I think I started to realize a little bit more then, but not really until I was in college and I was about 19 years old. And by that point, I was in so much physical pain that in my mind, I think I thought I was actually dying from some terminal illness or something, because I had a lot of physical pain, a lot of back pain, and couldn't walk straight. I was, you know, I didn't sleep well, and I had a reoccurring nightmare from the time I was little all the way through until I was probably 27. But in college, when I was taking these courses, that's when my eyes started to open up to realizing, oh, I had some of these types of things that I was studying, I was experiencing in my own life, and it was related to the trauma. And the physical pain was a big eye-opener because I wanted to feel well, and I felt horrible. So I started seeking help. And as I started, first it was for the physical only, and then I found someone when I moved when I was 21 who worked with me with the physical and the emotional. And that's when I started to really put the pieces. And when my daughter was my age at the time that this occurred, she was two, that was the real eye-opener. I had memories coming back, and my body was in pain again, and I was having sinus infections, and I'd never had one before. And I was pretty sick. So then I really sought out trying to, you know, find out what's going on with me, and I want to get well.
It's amazing how the psychological traumas, how they can manifest through such strong physical pain, you know, like the back hurting. And so was there a direct connection with when you started to do the emotional healing that the physical healing started to get better as well?
Oh, absolutely. And when I was first just doing the physical and, you know, I was working with a chiropractor when I was 19 and I was in college. I found a chiropractor because I was in so much pain. I was trying to find someone to help relieve it. And I still hadn't made the total connection that this was related to this emotional stuff. And I had to see him, you know, every week to keep myself so that I could function better and I was feeling okay. And when I was 21, that's when I moved to Arizona and I started working with bioenergetic synchronization technique. It's BEST for short. And I found a practitioner that worked with that because I was told to find someone that would gently work with me using kinesiology and not popping and cracking, but just gentle work with me. And that was when I started to connect more and more. But really, when my daughter was 2 years old, and I was looking at her and, you know, wanting to enjoy being with her and all of that, besides the back pain and all that, I started getting these sinus infections. And it was one right after another. And I never had one. And I was like, what the heck? So I went into the practitioner's office kind of waving my imaginary white flag saying, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I didn't even, he knew nothing about the trauma, none of that. And we went through the process of what BEST is, which is a hands-on healing technique, and it's very gentle and very easy. And as we were going through the process, he came up with two words, and he said sexual abuse between the ages 0 and 5. And I remember almost, you know, I was angry. I was kind of mad at him because I thought, well, how the hell do you know? I never told you any of this. And he took me into a private room so we could finish the session since it was a sensitive topic, and we finished going through the process, which is clearing out at the subconscious level, clearing out these memories and changing your beliefs, and it's unloading that baggage. And there's more to it, but, you know, that's basically what you're doing, and very easily, kind of using, like, acupressure points and that type of thing. And by the end of that session, I felt so much better, and the telltale sign that it worked was I never have had another sinus infection, and then I was 27 at the time. I turned 50 just last Saturday, and
oh
my back pain, my back pain was, you know, gone because it wasn't. Now it's just normal stuff, and I didn't have what I was having then. I mean, I'm in better shape at my age now than, you know, a lot of young people. And I exercise on a regular basis, take really good care of myself. But at that time, I mean, all those sinus infections went away. And the biggest thing was that nightmare that I'd had. I never have had it again. And
it just, you know, it just makes you go, wow. If we think about friends and family members, or, you know, when you look at illnesses or difficult issues that just seem to be perplexing on how to heal. And if you're not looking at, you know, to hear your story and the emotional connection and how powerful that healing, it just makes you have to really be open to other possibilities on how we help people.
Right.
That's just really powerful.
Yeah, and wow. I mean, I don't think there's any, my personal opinion is there's never anything physically going on with you that doesn't have an emotional tie to it. There's always an emotional tie to whatever it is. I mean, you could have a car accident and have your neck messed up from the car accident or something, but if you don't deal with what was happening in your life before the car accident, what was going on during it, you know, did you see the car coming? Did you see the accident now? Or what were you even thinking at that moment? And then what was happening after? Emotionally, if you don't deal with all that other stuff too, that it's almost like the car accident can just keep replaying and replaying, and the neck pain just never really gets, you know, better. It might seem better for a while, but it comes back. And my dad, years ago, Well, my mom was pregnant with my brother and I, and we were number 4 and 5, and they weren't expecting number 4 and 5. And my father was in a car accident, and he got severe whiplash and had some neck stuff, and I think maybe broken ribs or something like that. And I think it was probably 30 years after that. It was several years later that I was doing this work. I was working with Best. So I did a balancing with my father for his neck, for the physical. And what came up emotionally was that car accident. And, I mean, I never even knew about it. And he said at the time he was completely stressed out because he was having number 4 and number 5, financially stressed, not prepared for it. Then he was in this car accident, and then we came along shortly after. So it's like his neck, he never actually totally healed from it until we did the balancings and started clearing stuff out.
So what was your first step toward healing? When did that, was it doing the energy work, or was it, what was the first step?
I'd have to say it's the physical stuff because, I mean, you know, I don't care what people reach out to do, and I don't want it to seem like you have to do energy work to get to that point. I mean, you have to start somewhere. So for me, it was that 19 years old going, I feel like an old woman. And the chiropractor at the time told me, you have the back of a 50-year-old woman. And now I'm 50 going, now I think I probably have the back
of a 19-year-old?
Yeah, I think I have the back of a 19-year-old. So I'm in really, you know, I feel much better than I did and much younger. But at that time, I said, try 100 because I felt awful. And I was like, I knew that wasn't normal. I'm 19 years old. I shouldn't feel this way. So that was my wake-up call, and that's what people need to do. They need to start paying attention. I went, this is wrong. I shouldn't feel this way, and I started seeking help.